were in this church back in 1995 and was given and presented to Colley, our pastor, his dad, who was a pastor of this church for over 20 years, in fall of 95. And this pulpit right here was made on purpose. The way it looks, it's a replica of the one that was in Calvary Baptist Church of Grand Prairie. Many of y'all heard that name before, that church name, and also Dr. O.K. Oldham, which he was the pastor of that church for many years. And this was made to look like his pulpit, that one. And if you still would like to have more proof of that, if you ever go back to the cafe and that picture of Miss Faith and Rick Austin that's there, that artistic drawing that's next to it, you'll see Dr. Oldham's picture behind a pulpit just like this one. So you can see that. So this morning, I just thought it would be great to have this and to use this. Last time I was doing this was back this past summer, and I used the podium over there, which is a little bit easier to transport back and forth than this one, but it just was small. It was just, I barely could get my notes on there, had to hold my Bible and people. Mike kept thinking I was going to throw it at him every time I would do this or whatever, and so I just wanted to just, in honor of my good friend Rick Austin. And by the way, I've preached from this pulpit back in the 90s. In the late 90s when it was here, I've preached from this pulpit. So this brings back a lot of memories for me, as well as in honor of Macaulay's dad, Rick Austin. So this morning we're going to be looking just for a few minutes at Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Many of you, you know this psalm. You're familiar with it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup overfloweth. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Isn't that great? How often we have heard this psalm. You'll hear it at funerals, you'll hear it at graveside services, you'll hear it sometimes taught or preached. Probably one of the most recognized areas of Scripture, probably outside of maybe John 3:16, for God so loved the world. But this morning I just want us to expositorily, this is kind of how I like to do it, I like to kind of go verse to verse and talk about things. And so this morning, if you have your Bibles and you're there with me in Psalm 23, you're not going to see the scriptures on the back like you usually do. And that's probably okay, because I typically use the old King James Version. I grew up with that. And all the scriptures I know from memory are King James verses. So it wouldn't do you a whole lot of good anyway. But if you've got your Bible there, you can look at it. Look at verse number one, and let's just get into it, okay? The Lord is my shepherd. David, of course, is the psalmist who is writing this, probably writing this at a time when he was having a lot of trouble with his son Absalom. Absalom had taken over the rule there in Jerusalem, and David was on the run. And it was at this time David was thinking about his past life, when David was a shepherd boy in Israel, and remembering how God took care of him. And at this time he's thinking, Lord, like then, take care of me now. I need your presence. I need your help. And he's reflecting on it, and he says, the Lord is my shepherd. David compares Yahweh, God the Father, to a shepherd. And he's likening himself to sheep. This was a familiar role for David. As I said, he had been a shepherd boy. And later, as a man, he became the shepherd of God's people in Israel as their king. The title was also one that Jesus Christ himself claimed. In John chapter 10, verse 14, Jesus told them, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known of mine." And then you see a little bit later, he says, not only the Lord is my shepherd, he says, "I shall not want." Look at it. "I shall not want." You see, sheep, if you know anything about sheep, they just don't take care of themselves. They require more than any other class of livestock constant attention and meticulous care. Think about that. Are we sheep this morning? We are sheep in God's pasture. We require meticulous care and constant attention. And as David's shepherd, the Lord provided all that David needed. And actually, really more is even implied here than what is expressed, because when he says, "not only I shall not want," but also he's really saying, "I shall be supplied whatever I need." Isn't that kind of what the Apostle Paul was thinking in Philippians 4, verse 19, when he was telling that church that "my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus"? I shall be supplied with whatever I need. And I'll say this, and if I don't have everything I desire, stay with me, I should conclude that it's either not good for me, or I shall have it when the shepherd deems it's the right time for me to have it. You know, sometimes we get a little bit anxious and antsy about things. God, we want it now, we wanted it 5 minutes ago. But God's timing is perfect, and he knows what we need, and our wants are fulfilled through him. And that's what David starts off with in verse 1. Then look at verse 2. He says, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." Now, what would sheep find good about that? I think if I was a sheep and I was laying down in green pastures everywhere, I'd be looking around and my mouth would be watering. I'd be going, "Look at all this food. This is like the lubies of Israel." Amen. And as sheep in God's pasture, think about it, as sheep in God's pasture, what food do we get from him? I'll tell you what we get from him. We get the Word of God. The Word of God is our food. It's our food for our souls. And since this food, the Word of God, has been given to us here on this earth, and we're on this earth, we also need to be faithfully fed this Word by God's under-shepherd, the pastor. God doesn't just come down from heaven physically and preach his word to us. He gives it to his under-shepherd to give to us. And that's been my calling. I've pastored in Oklahoma. I would come down here, matter of fact, talking about this pulpit and in this really relationship I've had with the Austins since early 1991, 92, 93, right in there. We'd come down here from Oklahoma, and I was pastoring up there. Y'all heard of the Camp Mohawk, remember? Someone's probably mentioned that at some point. Yeah? We would help Brother Rick. Man, we had a great week together. I would do the music and he'd do the preaching. After that, we would do the golfing. After that, we'd go to Gringo's and do the eating. And then finally on Sunday, we'd come here and have church. It was a great time together. And as Brother Rick's done, as our pastor Macaulay's done, and what under-shepherds should do is we should be faithful in feeding our sheep, feeding the sheep. Also look at verse number 2. He says, "Not only does he make me to lie down in green pastures," it says, "he leads me beside the still waters." God's word, by the way, is also known as the living water of God. Jesus himself referenced himself to be that living water. If you read John chapter 4 and you know the area where Jesus is traveling down through Samaria and he comes upon a woman at the well who was a Samaritan. And she was telling him, you know, why are you asking me for a drink? You're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan. And Jews don't do that. And the reason why is because Samaritans in those days, they were sort of looked down upon the Jews or by the Jews because they were half-breed. They were part Jews and part Babylonian during that captivity back there in the Old Testament. You'll have to go back there and read it. And so they didn't have a lot of fellowship together. But Jesus said, if you'd asked me for that living water, I'd have given you water where you'd never thirst again. Jesus was that living water. You think about sheep, and as they're being led by the still waters, sheep are skittish and nervous by nature. Still waters would be way more appealing for them to go and get a drink out of than a mighty rushing river. You see, for us, the water of the Word, this Word, is calming and it's refreshing to our souls. Not only for quenching our spiritual thirst, but also for the daily cleansing that we need in our lives lived for God. And let me say this, we do get spiritually thirsty. You know where to go? Right here. You come and you drink of this. What about the daily cleansing that we need? Where do you go? You come here to this for the daily cleansing. If you wonder and you look around today at Christians who look thirsty spiritually, or they look like they're just not right in some way, it may be because they have not been going to the living water to get their thirst quenched and to get their cleansing that they need. Look at verse number 3. It's not all. There's lots of benefits here. The psalmist says, "He restoreth my soul." You see, the Lord also provides spiritual refreshment and restoration. These benefits come to us as we take advantage of God's provision of His water of life, which is the living written word of God. God renews our strength and cleanses us through these provisions. And then also in verse number 3, he says, "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." He leadeth me. God also gives his sheep guidance in the proper path of life. And really, that path of righteousness could actually be referred to as the right path. God directs us and guides us in the right path. If you're wondering and you're praying and you're saying, "God, what do I do? Where do I go? How do I handle this?" Listen, God already knows what you need. He's already there. And all we have to do is avail ourselves to him as David had done by writing this psalm and saying, "You're my shepherd. You guide me. You direct me." God gives us this so we don't wander aimlessly. Boy, how easy would that be to do in this life? To wander aimlessly. Again, sheep just can't, they can't take care of themselves. They need the guidance and direction of the shepherd. You need that this morning. I need it. We all need that from the Lord. Look at verse number 4. We're just going through these verses. He says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." Now, the first thing I want you to notice about this is the first time in this psalm that David is not referring to God in the third person. He's not saying he this or he that. He is saying, "For you are with me." You see, David isn't just talking about somebody he hasn't met. David knows God personally. And then notice it's In that same verse, look at it. It's not the valley of death. It's not, yo, though I walk through the valley of death. It is though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You see, when the shepherd is with us, death in its substance has been removed. We're no longer in that substance. Only the shadow remains. You know how light is. You know how light comes down and it hits something and then all of a sudden you see the shadow over here. That's what David's talking about. That shadow of death is over there. It's on the side of the road that he's walking down as he's going through this valley. And he's not in that shadow because the Lord is with him. The light is with him. Also note that David is not walking in the valley, but through the valley. There's a difference. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You see, when we walk in the light of God's protection, we are never in the confines of death. But we pass by it as if it were standing on the road. Thought of an old song. Some of y'all probably may not remember this. This was back in the 70s. That's kind of a few years ago now, right? Song called Thank You for the Valley. Do you remember that? Anybody remember that? Some of y'all do. Some of you are shaking your heads. It said, thank you for the valley I walked through today. The darker the valley, the more I learned to pray. I found you where the lilies are blooming by the way. And I thank you for the valley that I walked through today. That's David here in this psalm. He is thanking the Lord. Thank you for being with me. I'm walking through this valley. And by the way, let me say something about this valley. This valley called the Valley of the Shadow of Death, that wasn't just kind of a metaphor for bad times. Although we can take it that way. All of us have been through problems and troubles and trials and strifes. Maybe you're going through them right now. And maybe they seem to you like the valley of the shadow of death. But in Israel, back in the day with David's day and even in the Lord's day when he was on the earth, there was an area called the Valley of the Shadow of Death. It was a path, it was a road, it was an area that was between Jericho and Jerusalem. And this path, as you go through it, there'd be mountainous on each side, there'd be mountains, and there'd be this one crevice that you would go through and you'd walk through, or you would take your sheep through, or whatever it was you were doing. And the only time there was light in that was when it was 12 o'clock noon and the light was shining down. The rest of the time, it was dark. Because of that, even in Jesus' day, there was times when, there would be robbers that would hide up in those hills and wait for people to come by, and they would rob them and take advantage of that darkness that was there. The story of the Good Samaritan's taken from that. Jesus says, I'm with you. David is saying to the Lord, I can do this because you are with me, for thou art with me. Look at verse 4 again. He says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The shepherd's rod was used to defend the sheep from predatory animals. There was animals in those days that liked lamb chops for dinner. They did. So he had a rod that he would use to beat off the predatory animals from sheep if they kind of came in to want to try to get a snack or their dinner that day. The staff was usually the shepherd's walking stick, helped to keep the sheep from wandering into dangerous terrain. If they got a little bit too close to the edge of the hill or the mountain, he would take his staff and he would help get the sheep back away from that area so they wouldn't fall off, because that's what they could do. They just keep going and keep eating, and before they knew it, whoo, there they go. God's word takes on the form of a shepherd's rod and a shepherd's staff for us, to protect us from our enemy and to keep us from wandering into paths that could be proven dangerous for us. Do you see how all this seems to be working towards the Word of God this morning? Maybe I could have just got up in 5 minutes and said, Everybody needs to read their Bible. Amen. Let's go home. But I wanted you to get the flavor of this because that's what David's talking about. You look at verse number 5, look with me. He said, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." In this verse, David describes the shepherd God. He's in the role of a gracious host now, providing hospitality for his people. He supplies us with what we truly need, and he does so not by removing us from the presence of our spiritual enemies, but he does it in their presence. You go, that may not be what I'd want to do, but you know what? You can do it if God is with you. And if you think about it this morning, enemies are all around us. I don't want to stop having God's presence just because there's enemies around us. As a matter of fact, that might be where I'd want him the most. Because there are enemies around us. And he says, come in fellowship with me. I've got a table spread for you. Look at verse 5 again. He says, thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Now, this anointing oil, and this was interesting for me when I discovered this because I was wondering how this worked in being a shepherd. But you have to understand, I've never been a shepherd before in terms of actually having a flock of sheep. So I didn't know this, but you know what? This was an actual service that an Israelite shepherd would provide for his sheep to keep them comfortable, especially when flies got bad. Now, if some of y'all have had any kind of livestock at all, like cows and so forth, you understand what I'm saying. Flies kind of like to be around all this. Well, sheep is no different. The flies would come in, and the sheep would be like, oh man, they're skittish. You're like, oh, something's bothering me. Oh, man, you know, I can't eat. I'm messed up here. And what the shepherd would do is he would take oil and he would anoint the sheep's heads with oil. And that, in some way, had a calming effect on the sheep. Gone was the aggravation, the irritability, the restlessness that would come because the flies were there. And instead, the sheep, with their heads anointed with oil, would begin to feed again. And then eventually they would lie down in peaceful contentment. That's what God does for us. Hey, let's talk about this oil for a second. What do we think about when we think about the anointing of oil and how it's symbolic in Scripture? It's been likened to the Holy Spirit outpouring. In times of distress for us, in times when we need spiritual strength, times when we need an anointing from the Holy Spirit. We have, now listen, we have the indwelt Spirit. You know this. When we've trusted Christ as our Savior and we've been saved, we are given the gift of the Holy Spirit, the indwelt Holy Spirit. But there are also times in our life when we need that extra measure, a filling of the Holy Spirit of God in our life, and that's what this is. You see, the sheep still belong to the shepherd, but they needed the oil on their heads to keep them and give them the wherewithal to be able to live the life they needed to live. And that's the same thing that happens with the Holy Spirit. We can receive momentary fillings of the Holy Spirit of God to give us that extra measure of spiritual strength that we need from the Lord. You know what's happened to us, and I've heard this for many years. It's kind of like the Baptists for some reason. We just never did do much and know much about the Holy Spirit. And there were other groups out there that did. Just because we didn't run around and do stuff, you know? But you know what? The Holy Spirit of God is in us. God is in us. And when we have need in our life, and we're going through something, and we need his calming influence and his strength in our life, we have the ability to receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit for filling, to give us that strength. Problem is we just don't ask God for it. Lord, help me. Give me strength. Give me your spirit. Give me an outpouring of your spirit to help me through this time. If you haven't been doing that, you're missing out. Because you've got it. And I've got it. And then look in verse number 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What does that goodness and mercy look like in the life of a believer who truly knows the Lord is his or her shepherd? I tell you what, try reading the psalm by asking this: what shall I not want for? If I have the Lord as my shepherd, what shall I not want for? I'll not have to worry about rest, for he makes me to lie down in green pastures. I'll not have to worry about peace, for he leads me beside still waters. I don't have to want for forgiveness, for he restores my soul. I don't have to want for guidance, for he leads me in the paths of righteousness. Or companionship, for thou art with me. For comfort, because his rod and staff comfort us. We don't have to want for food or fellowship, because he prepares a table. Or protection, for he does so in the presence of our own enemies. We don't have to want for spiritual strength, for he anoints our heads with oil. We don't have to worry about abundant blessings, because our cup overflows. We don't have to want for grace, for he makes goodness and mercy follow us. And we don't have to worry about security, because one day I shall dwell, you shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Final thought. Probably the single most important word, I believe, is in verse number 1. If you look at verse number 1, you think you can find it? Well, I'll just go ahead and tell you. The most important word in this psalm is that little word, my. The Lord is my shepherd. See, you can know that the Lord is a shepherd, but that won't do you much good. You can even understand that the Lord is the shepherd, the only one in the universe who can fully meet our needs. Even James, in his book, he says, the devils also believe and tremble. They know who God is. They know who Jesus is. I like what someone once said. They said, you know what? You can know a lot about him, but do you know him? Do you know him? See, David didn't say, the Lord is a shepherd, I shall not want. He didn't say, the Lord is the shepherd, I shall not want. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. This is personal. This is a personal relationship that David is talking about. And here's one of my greatest fears. In the days and times that we're living in, as we look around, I sense in my spirit that there are people today, God's people, Christian people, believers, even church members, who are somehow missing out on having a wonderful, sweet relationship with Jesus. On this earth, now, once we get to heaven, we're going to be in the presence of the Lord. But on this earth, the only thing that's going to matter for anything is going to be our relationship with Jesus. We can't take anything else with us. You can't take the clothes on your back. You can't take the money in your bank or the food that's in your pantry. You can't take nothing with you. The only thing you're going to have that's going to have meaning for all of eternity is the relationship you had with Jesus. My question is, do you have a personal relationship with the Lord? Don't miss that. Do you have a personal relationship with the Lord? You see, it's only when we've placed our faith and our trust in the Good Shepherd, that's what Jesus said he was. We have placed our faith in Jesus. Until we do that personally, we can't sing with David in this psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd." But if you place your faith and trust in him, the finished work of Calvary, what he did on the cross for our sins, and believe him and trust him and say, "Lord, I'm believing that you're saving me because of the blood you spilt on Calvary." You do that, you can sing with David, "The Lord is my shepherd." Then and only then can you know him with sweet certainty. Based on God's promise in this psalm. And then when you have that, then you can say, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I would want everyone in this room to know Jesus. I don't know everybody in this room. I don't know your heart. I don't know your spiritual condition. But I do know this, God loves you. We referenced John 3:16 earlier. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You can place your faith and trust in Jesus today. If you haven't ever done that, you can do that today. You can do that in this service. You don't have to say a prayer. You don't have to do certain things. You don't have to jump through a hoop. All you have to do is believe. John says it over and over again in his gospel account. Believe. You place your faith in him, and then you can be saved. With every head bowed this morning and everyone just eyes closed and not looking around, and I would say that most of us in here, probably all of us, but at least most of us in here this morning,